So thankful this morning that morning has come. Thank the Lord that the Lord is risen, and that's the title of the message this morning. The Lord is risen indeed. 1,990 years ago, plus three, depending on your historian, outside the city gates of Jerusalem, at a place called Mount Calvary, Golgotha, on a Friday, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died. He was betrayed by Judas, who was one of his own. He was accused by the Jewish leaders of blasphemy, and he was taken before Annas and Caiaphas. He was tried by the great Sanhedrin, which was a 71-member Supreme Council of the Jews. Then he was taken to Pilate, and then taken to King Herod, and then taken back to Pilate. And then he was crucified by the Romans. As he hung on the cross after he had been tried and mocked and spit upon and ridiculed, his garments torn off of him, and beaten with whips, as he hung on the cross at noon, the earth, darkness, the scripture says, covered the earth. Crown of thorns had been placed on his head, and the blood streamed down. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, and he said, "It is finished." And he passed from this life into the heavenly realm to a place called paradise, which translated is a park. It was a place, paradise was a place of departed spirits of the righteous before they are reunited with their glorified body. And as you recall, Jesus, as he hung on the cross, when the thief, one of the thieves beside him, acknowledged that he was the Christ, Jesus said, "This day will I be with you in paradise." Jesus did not go to hell. He went to the grave. He went to Sheol. When David said, "Thou wilt not suffer my soul to be in hell or to see corruption," the word is Sheol. It was not the place of hell as we know it. It was a place of departed spirits. Jesus went to the grave, and from his own mouth he said, "I will be with you in paradise." And it was seemingly, when Jesus said, "It is finished," it was seemingly a time of triumph for the Jewish leaders. It was a time that they had been trying to stamp out Christ. They'd been trying to stamp out Christianity and those that were following him. And so their mission was accomplished, so they thought, when he was put to death. But it was a time of despair and hopelessness for the disciples and for the multitudes that had followed Christ, because he had been their hope for a Messiah. They had looked to him for deliverance. And it was for him that the disciples had left their nets. It was for Jesus that Matthew had left the receipt of custom. It was for this man that said he was the Son of God that the 12 disciples left their normalcy of life and their jobs, and they sacrificed everything to follow this man. And it seemed to them that that also was the end. And darkness was not only physical on the face of the earth, the darkness and despondency was upon their hearts and their minds, because the Messiah is dead. They had counted on him to deliver them from the Roman Empire, and that hadn't happened either, because now he's gone and he's dead. The joy and the awe at the miracles that had been observed for the 3.5 years of Christ's ministry was really turned to sorrow and grief, because expectations were dashed and they were gone. And now his body lay in the tomb of Joseph, of Arimathea. A great stone had been rolled over that sepulcher, and to secure the tomb lest his body was stolen and lies propagated, some falsehood about some resurrection, a watch of Roman soldiers was placed over that tomb to guard the body of Christ. And so it is with that as a preface that we turn to read what happened early one Sunday morning, 1990 to 93 years ago, in the book of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. I know who you seek, the Son of God that left heaven to come to earth because of love. That's who you seek. I know that you're seeking Jesus, the one that healed the lame, the one that gave sight to the blind, the one that raised the dead to life, the one that fed the thousands, the one that was crucified and the one that was died, and the one that you brought these spices to anoint his body. This is the one that you seek, the one that was guarded by the Roman soldiers. This is the Christ that you came to find." But the good news did not end there, because it was an acknowledgement that I know who you are seeking. But he went on to say then, "He is not here, for he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay." That is what we celebrate this morning. He is not here, for he is risen. We serve a risen Savior this morning. He is alive. He is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. We do not worship a dead Messiah today. The one that we read about that performed all of these miracles, he is alive today. There are many religions that are founded upon the ideologies and philosophies of men and venerated as prophets and religious leaders, but Jesus Christ is the only one this morning that is not in the grave. He is alive today, and it is that Jesus that we celebrate this morning. It is that Jesus that we pray to. It is that Jesus that is still caring for us and loving us and working in our lives. And the angel went on to say then, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." I would have liked to have been there that Sunday morning, but I'm thankful to be here this Sunday morning and share with you that Jesus is indeed risen from the dead. He is not in the tomb. And he said, "Go and tell quickly, tell the disciples." There's some news that we have to share today. It's not just another religion. It's not just another fairy tale. But Jesus Christ, as was mentioned in Sunday school, he was seen by over 500 that saw him alive from the dead. They were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. And I will say, as Paul this morning, I too have been an eyewitness of the resurrection. Brother Randy already testified to it. He was an eyewitness of the resurrection because of the power of the resurrection in his life. It was because Jesus rose from the dead. Well, he's not here because he's risen. And it said they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and with great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. There was one more miracle that took place. Jesus said, "You seek for a sign," to the Jews. He said, "But this is the sign that I will give to you. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so shall I be in the grave, and I will rise again." That is enough of a miracle, and we need no other miracle this morning. It is wonderful when the Lord performs visible miracles still today, and He does. But I am so thankful that we have an assurance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead because of the resurrection power it brought about in our lives this morning. He is not here, for He is risen from the dead. It said that joy welled up within them because the last enemy was conquered. Death was conquered, and Jesus had a glorified body then. His spirit was reunited with a glorified body. Do you remember Jesus walked through doors after that? I don't know what it's going to be like, but one day if we will be faithful to the Lord, we also will have a resurrected body. Jesus actually ate fish after He had a resurrected body. He ate. And He walked through doors, and I don't know what all it's going to be like, but it's going to be wonderful. And they had joy. With joy they went and told the disciples. And yet there were some that had heard the news and they did not believe. They heard that Jesus had risen from the dead, but they were not convinced. And so we read of two of those in the book of Luke, in the 24th chapter, in the 13th verse. I don't know what Resurrection Sunday would be without reading at least a little bit out of the 24th chapter of Luke. It said two of them went, they were disciples of Christ. Two of them walked down that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. They were walking away from Jerusalem. They were walking away from where it had happened because Jesus was dead. We don't have any cause to stay in Jerusalem any longer. We don't have any cause to stay longer reunited with all of the followers of Christ. We'll go our separate directions now. We'll split. We'll divide. You go your way and I'll go my way because Jesus is dead. And they were walking down that road to Emmaus, and there's so many wonderful truths there, but it's not the essence of the burden this morning, but it's one of my favorite passages. But as they walked down that road to Emmaus, desolate, and discouraged and despondent, with heaviness of heart, they talked about what used to be. They talked about what they had seen and what they had observed. And as they walked, there was a man that came and began walking down the road with them. He said, "What are y'all talking about? Don't you know what's happened? Have you not heard what happened in Jerusalem?" And pretty soon, this man began to expound to them. Beginning with Moses, he began to expound the prophecies of the Savior. He began to expound to them the Word of God and those things that had been written before. He probably prophesied, he probably opened up the prophecies that Jesus was supposed to be resurrected, but he began to expound to them. And when it was time, this man was going to go his own direction, and they compelled him, "No, please stay with us a little longer. Don't go away, but we want you to stay with us." And so this man stayed with them. They said, come and sit down and eat with us. So they sat down to eat together. And as they sat down and ate, before they ate, it said that they set at meat and he took bread. This man that was with them in the 30th verse, it said he took the bread and he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. That man that showed up on the road to Emmaus was no other than Jesus Christ Himself. He was no longer in the grave. He had risen from the dead. And it said, as they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scripture? They recognized at that point that it was Jesus Christ. And this is what they did. It said they rose up the same hour. You know, as long as we think Jesus is in the dead, we're going to go back to Emmaus. We're going to go back to fishing. We're going to go back to our tax collecting. We're going to go back to our jobs. And we're going to just go back to that place of darkness and despair without hope of a brighter tomorrow. But when they recognized that Jesus was alive, it said that same hour they got up and they returned to Jerusalem. We're going to go back to where the other disciples are. I don't want to be separated from the family of God because Jesus is alive. And they went back to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. And this is what they said, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." The Lord is risen indeed. It wasn't just the Marys that came and told us that He was alive. He met with us on the way when we were walking away, when we were despairing and our life was in darkness. Jesus appeared to us, and we want you to know the Lord is risen indeed. Do you know this morning the Lord is risen indeed? That means of a surety. It means of a fact. He is not dead and He is risen. And we have seen Him for ourselves. And that was their message. Most of you probably do not remember the name of, and I still have to look at my notes to be sure I pronounce it right. So I don't expect you to know who this man was, but you can Google him and you'll find him. There was a man by the name of Nikolai Ivanovich Bukharin. And he was in Russia in the 1917 Bolshevik Revolution. He was a full member of the Politburo. He was a communist. If I'm not mistaken, he was left of Stalin even. So he was the editor of a Soviet paper. His works on economics and political science are still read today, and Marxism, etc. And there was a story told of this man that he traveled from Moscow to Kiev in 1930 to address a large assembly of people on the subject of atheism. And addressing the crowd, he was very eloquent from what I understand, and he was a very learned, educated man, and he aimed his artillery at the Christians, hurling insults and arguing in proof against Christianity. And an hour later of speaking against it, it seemed like that he looked out over the crowd, and the writer said it was as if he looked over the smoldering ashes of men's faith because of all the arguments against Christianity, trying to make people that were Christians feel inferior and foolish. And he said, "Are there any questions?" And a deafening silence was in the crowd. Then a man stood up and walked up to the platform. He looked to the crowd and he looked to the left first. And then the man looked over to the right. And he shouted in an ancient greeting that the Russian Orthodox Church would understand. He said, "Christ is risen." And the story says that in mass, the people stood up and responded with a crashing sound, "He is risen indeed." I say this morning to the devil, and I say to the world, and I say to atheists, and I say to the unbeliever, that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's try that again. I would say to the world, and I say to you this morning in the Spirit of the Lord, that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Because He's proven that. Have you seen the Lord Jesus? We've been eyewitnesses. If we sang the song, a resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. The Lord has done so much in my life. I appreciate when I see His miracles. I appreciate that I am walking today where one time it looked like I might not walk anymore. I appreciate that I'm alive today when disease looked like it would take my life. Those were miracles from the God. But do you realize that if He would have never done that, I would still believe this morning. And if the Lord does not do anything else ever, and God will do more, thank the Lord. But if He didn't, I still believe this morning because of what He has done in my personal life spiritually. The Lord has given me power where I did not have power. He has made me strong where I was weak. He has forgiven me of my sins, and He has given me peace where there was turmoil, and He's been a friend and a comforter. He's been my Savior. I believe this morning. Christ is risen. I'm going to try that one again. Christ is risen. Can you testify of that this morning? Can you testify to that when people try to make you feel foolish for being a Christian? When people try to make you feel intellectually inferior because you believe in Jesus Christ, I do not need to put my head down and say, I'm a Christian. I do not need to walk down the road to Emmaus away from God's people because I'm embarrassed at living like I live. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ this morning because it is the power of God unto salvation, because He is risen. Thank the Lord. He lives, Brother Leroy. We don't need to be ashamed. And what the world is doing today is exactly what the Marxist communist government tried to do in Russia in the Bolshevik Revolution. What they were trying to do was bring in atheism. There's no such thing as a God. There is no God. There is no Savior. There is no redemption. But there is this morning. And I believe, and I am not ashamed of it. Because Paul said, I am an eyewitness. We also that are saved and been washed in the blood of Jesus, we have been eyewitnesses of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord that He is alive this morning. People are living in our world today as if He were dead. There are too many people that are living as if Jesus Christ is dead. They're seeking hope and seeking comfort in the things of this world. They're pursuing fleshly dreams and fleshly ambitions, and yet without true peace. No true satisfaction. Sin is abounding on every hand in our world today, and our world is in trouble. All you have to do is read the news or turn the news on for just a few minutes. Our world is in trouble. Darkness is permeating our land. There's despondency. There's lost courage and lost hope. People are settling for relationships of strife and contention. Marriages are in trouble in our world today. Homes are full of strife, and there's no happiness. There's very little happiness. People are settling for the power, for the addictions that come with sin. And they're not happy from it. But yet they're driven by it and they're servants of sin. But Jesus is risen this morning. We need not live in darkness anymore. There is hope because Jesus is alive. He loves us and He cares for us. He's advocating for us this morning. He still hears our prayers. And He's still helping us in our weakness. He is still setting free from sin. He is still giving power when we can't do it. And there is something divine that enables us to do what we could not do. That's because He's alive this morning. He's still breaking the bonds of addiction. He is still opening up the blinded eyes. And He is still supplying our needs. We heard about some of that testimony in prayer requests as well. The Lord's still answering prayer. That's because He's alive today. He's still comforting us in time of grief. In a time of heartache and struggle, He's still there to be a friend with us. So is hope gone this morning? Is hope gone? Hope thou in the Lord. Hope is not gone because Christ is risen. Because Christ is risen. I know we don't normally do this in our services, but I want us to understand that He is risen indeed. It's not just a fairy tale. He's risen, thank the Lord. We need not look to another person. We need not look to another religion, another ideology, because Christ is the one that is risen. And I believe that this is an expression. This word right here is an expression of God's word and His will for us to live by. And I know it's true because it works. People say, how do you know the Bible's true? Well, we can argue theologically, we can argue historically, we can argue about all of the science, and we can argue about all of those points, but I know and I believe this morning in the Word of God, and I believe in a risen Savior because it has worked in my life. And you can't steal that from me, the world can't steal that from me, and the devil can't steal that from me, because that is a personal experience, and I believe this morning. So thank God for a risen Savior that is alive today. And where the world is trying to tear down Christianity, just like the example of this man that I told you about, that tried to with his arguments, persuade people that atheism was the way to go and there is no God, there were still people, thank the Lord, that knew Jesus Christ had been risen from the dead. Well, the world is trying to destroy our faith this morning. Everything that is, it seems like almost anything that is holy and sacred is being called into question today. From God creating a man and a woman to have a holy marriage between a man and a woman, you don't have to read or listen to the news very long before you find the perversion of the world that you all are just not intellectually aware if you don't acknowledge that it's fine for two men to get married or two women to be together or something. They're trying to make us feel like we're on the bottom here. They're trying to make us feel like we are inferior in understanding. But do you realize that Christianity has, when people have given their lives to Christ, it has been liberating to women around the world. It has liberated them because their men who love God will not abuse them. Christian men will treat their wives with love and respect and honor them as the woman that God created them to be. And that liberates and that sets free. We don't need feminism to tell us that. We don't need the world to tell us that. The Word of God teaches us that. The Word of God teaches great value in the place and the position that God created us to be. And it changes societies that have been steeped in sin. The Jesus Christ will change family relationships. It will change how people are living. But our world today is trying anything that's holy. Do you realize that even from the simplicity of how we act and the things that we do or don't do, from the inward man to the outward man, the world is trying to make us feel foolish. But do you realize that if it's working for the world, if the world truly has greater understanding and more enlightenment than what we have this morning in Jesus Christ, I will go the way of the world if it works for them. I'll go that way. If it brings deliverance, if it brings peace, if it brings eternal life, I want what they have if that's the answer. But is it working? It's not working. We see our world. There's more strife. There's more contention. There's more unhappiness. There's more darkness. And yet they try to make us feel foolish. Jesus Christ has risen from the grave and He is alive. And for that cause, I follow His word this morning. And we do not need to feel like we are second-class citizens. Children and young people, you are not intellectually inferior to follow Jesus Christ. He is risen. And you say, prove it to me, how I want to see him with myself. Get saved and you will see Jesus for yourself. There's a song that says, I want to see Jesus. If you don't believe this morning, if you can just ask the Lord to open up your eyes, that you can have a transformation of life, that you can see Jesus for yourself. And once you get a vision of a risen Lord, the devil cannot steal that from you. And the world may scoff, and they will. And the world will persecute, and they're going to do it more. We must know what we believe this morning. I believe in a risen Lord. Thank the Lord. And that is a message to the world as well, that the way of the world is not working. It's not working. But Christ is risen. Broken lives, broken homes, despondency, darkness, lack of peace, and inner turmoil, the answer is found in Jesus Christ. We sing another song sometimes that says, I found what I needed so long. I found what I needed so long, as we already sang this morning, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. I am so thankful this morning that Christ is risen. I am so thankful this morning that Christ is risen. Thank the Lord. May the Lord bless each one of you as you go to face the rest of your day with family and friends. May you keep the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and may you have a wonderful day. I want to wish you all a wonderful month. I trust all of you will have a wonderful month, and I'm going to go beyond that. May the Lord bless you the rest of this year. May the Lord bless the rest of your lives this morning, and I know He can, and I know He will, because of a very simple fact this morning, and that is that Christ is risen. May the Lord bless you. Amen.